Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1313. 1313. Beginning with the 20th verse, we'll read through the 25th verse. Taking note of the 21st verse, which is the text verse for this evening's message. Shall we stand, please, as is our custom here at the church? Read these verses responsively, please. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who is own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And let's pray. Father, with blessing and delight we enjoyed the singing of the last hour. Now this regular service, we come together again, this time more especially to hear the preaching of thy word. Thank you for every element of the service. We feel comfortable here. We feel at home here. And we pray that those who visit with us also feel that way. But there's a singular purpose for our being here, and that is to hear your word. Help us to hear carefully, prayerfully. Bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
I told her that after she'd taken voice lessons from me for 3 years, we will sing a duet together. And I know you're anticipating hearing that when the two of the outstanding voices in our church blend together in sacrilege. I far prefer to preach practical sermons. I love to feel like when you leave, you've gotten something that you can apply to your life. Tonight, however, I will preach a doctrinal sermon. I'm going to give you one doctrine, and I'm going to have it line upon line, precept upon precept, and you'll have to listen carefully. I'll not be lengthy tonight, which means I'll probably preach for an hour and a half, 2 hours, I'll not be lengthy tonight. I want to speak tonight on the subject, why did he stay? Why did he stay? You'll have to follow me very, very carefully, because it's a doctrinal kind of a sermon, and if you lose me anywhere in the sermon, you'll not find your way out, because you'll not be able to follow us for the entire message. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help me as I try to explain to the people one of the great doctrines of the Bible, perhaps one that most of us have not heard before. In fact, maybe a little bit different slant upon eternal truth. Bless me as I speak tonight. Give me a mind that's alert and a heart that's warm. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, he was God in the flesh. He tabernacled among us. He was God impressed, compressed, and expressed in a human body. Okay, he lived a perfect life so he could be our Passover lamb without blemish. Okay. He went to Calvary's brazen altar and paid the penalty for our sins. He rose again for our justification, ascended to the right hand of the Father to be my high priest, representing me at the throne of God. But ask the question, why did he stay so long? Could he not have been our perfect lamb with a shorter earthly visit? Could he not have, at the age of maybe 20 or 21 or 18 or whatever the age of adulthood was, or even sooner, could he not have lived a perfect life? Why 33 years? Why did he stay so long? For 33 years, he stayed. He was born helpless, as you were. He had a childhood, as you did. He grew, like you did. He lived in a house, like you do. He had a family, like you have. He held down the job, like you do. He wearied at noontime, like you do. He hungered, as do you. He thirsted, like you do. He tired at excessive toil, just like you do. He wept at the graveside, just like we do. He had apprehensions in life, like you have. He felt pain, like you feel. He attended weddings, as you attend weddings. He had fears, like you have. He was lonely, like you are. He was human, like you. But why did he spend 33 years here? Let me digress for a moment, and I'll come back to the subject. A few little illustrations that you've heard before that will introduce my message to you tonight. A little girl in this church used to call me Brother God. Brother God. Oftentimes when I would get a little excited up here, she would say, "Mama, ain't God mad today?" Our son David, when he was a boy, I came home from Sunday school, and these are all stories that you've heard. Now I'll launch you into a truth that perhaps you've not heard. We were driving home from church the first Sunday that day he went to his first Sunday school class. He had been in the nursery, but now he is a beginner, sitting in his first class, or primary maybe, and sitting in his first class with a teacher in a room and so forth. And he and I were driving home together on a Sunday morning, that morning. And I said, "Son, what did you learn in Sunday school today?" And he said, "I learned about God." And I said, "What did you learn about God?" And David said, "I learned that God loves me like nobody else in the world loves me. I also learned that if I do bad, because God loves me, he spanks me and spanks me hard. I also learned that it hurts God when he spanks me. He doesn't..." "Hey, Dad, are you God?" A little boy was out in the alley several years ago with his mother, a bus kid, very poor, humble people. I walked by, and the little boy's shoe was untied. And I said, "Son, you got your shoe untied. Let me tie your shoe for you." I bent down, tied it. First, the mother said to Brother House, "You don't have time to tie everybody's shoe in the church." I said, "I'm not going to tie everybody's shoe in the church. I'm going to tie that shoe right there." And she said, "Well, why?" And I said, "Because we are." I said, "Tell her what we are." The little bus kid said, "We're buddies, that's what we are." And as I walked away, he said, "Mama, did you see God tie my shoe?" I knocked on the door. Nobody answered. I think one little girl came and said, "Mama told me to tell you nobody's home." But I knocked on the door. Nobody answered. And I heard a mother shout, "Who is that?" And the little girl said, "It's the God man." That's who it is. I heard about a fellow who was not quite normal. I think his name was Moffat. I've forgotten for sure what his name was. But he was not quite normal. And he was talking to another fellow in the same institution where he dwelt. And he said to the other fellow, "I'm John the Baptist." The other fellow said, "You're not either. John, you're not John." "Oh, yes, I am. I'm John the Baptist." He said, "No, you're not. You're crazy, man. You're not John the Baptist." "Yes, I am. I'm John the Baptist." He said, "Who said you're John the Baptist?" He said, "God did." Other fellow said, "I did not." We're off to a great start tonight. Little girl, and this is a story you've heard too. A little girl go on a picture, and she drew a picture of a man, and the mother said, who's that picture of? And she said, it's a picture of God. Her mother said, nobody knows what God looks like. She said, they will now. All of that I'll come back to after a while if I forget anything to say. The Old Testament, now here's the sermon, and you'll find it applies to my little illustrations after a while. The Old Testament tells us that no man has seen God. In fact, it tells us that man could not see God and live. You recall when Moses went to Mount Sinai, he turned his back and went with his back because he could not see the glory and majesty of God. Enter Bethlehem. What was Bethlehem? More than a cute baby in a manger, more than just the Prince of Peace, more than just a great man being born. What was Bethlehem? Hear me carefully. Bethlehem was the time, and Jesus was our glorious God, dimmed by flesh, so man could see him and live. That's what Bethlehem was. I said again, Bethlehem, Jesus was our glorious God, dimmed by flesh, so man could see him and live. He was God's attempt to let us see himself. For God wanted man to see himself, and man could not see God, and so God himself, incarnate, clothed upon with human flesh, let us see himself in Jesus Christ. He came to show us God. That's exactly why, what his life was all about. He came to show us God. Paul said he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily in his letter to the Colossians. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Again he said, I and my Father are one. Paul said he was God impressed, or the impressed or expressed image of the great Jehovah God. Paul said also that John said that he was God becoming flesh. Paul said that he was God in Christ. Again, he said that he was God clothed upon with human flesh. He was the true and perfect image of the eternal Jehovah God. He was the manifest copy of God. He was a perfect copy of the original, if you please. That's what he was. Now, how pleased, don't leave me now, how pleased the Father was. For he had long wanted man to see him. And when Jesus came and said, I am the Father of one, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now the Father saw the travail of the soul, was satisfied because finally man could see what God was like in his Son, Jesus Christ. For 33 years, he, God, was seen of man in Christ Jesus. In fact, in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 9, verses 6 and following, Jesus was called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Yes, he was a Prince of Peace. Yes, he was the Son that was born. But more than that, he was the very God of gods expressed in human flesh, the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. On Olive's Mount, suddenly he was gone. For 33 years, man had seen the Father if they had seen the Son. Listen to me. Now then, he's gone. He ascended back to the Father. How can man ever see God again? If you listen, you'll learn something. How can man, I'm talking about Jehovah God, not Jesus, but Jehovah God. How can man, he's gone now, no longer can men on earth see God incarnate, God impressed in human body. No longer can man see what the Heavenly Father is like. So here was God's plan. Jesus said, as he had come to show what God was like, we are to show what Jesus was like. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. So just as the Heavenly Father said to Jesus, I want you to go down there and show them what I'm like so man can see me. And Jesus goes to heaven and he says to you and me, now I want you, as the Father sent me to reveal him, I want you to reveal me. As they have seen the Father in me, I want them to see me in you. That's why he said, as he is, so are we in this world. That's why he said, as I have loved you, so ought ye to love one another. That's why he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's why it said, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, as our text said, that we should follow in his steps. That's why the apostle said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. For as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. What is our job on earth? Our job on earth is to show people what Jesus was like. His job on earth was to show people what the Father was like. That's why we sing, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's why we sing, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. Come in thy goodness. Come in thy sweetness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. That's why we sing, let others see Jesus in you. And that's why we sing, to be like Jesus, to be like him. All I ask, to be like him. That's why we sing, I would be like Jesus. That's why we sing, more like the Master I would ever be. Listen now. Don't leave me now. Don't miss this. I'm pivoting to show you what sermon's all about. Now, so actually, follow me, since Jesus was to reveal what God was like, and I am to reveal what Jesus was like, that means that I am a copy of the copy. And that means that my job is not only to show the world what Jesus was like, because he showed the world what the Father was like, and I am to be like him. That means that you and I, are you listening to me? That means that you and I are in the absence of Jesus Christ to reveal to mankind what the Heavenly Father is all about. If, in fact, he was a copy of the Father, and I am to be a copy of him, then I am to be like, we sing to be like Jesus, but more than that, no, to be like Jehovah. For I am to be like the one who was like Jehovah. And so this world is supposed to have somebody not only that reveals what Christ is like, but this world is supposed to have people to reveal what the Heavenly Father is all about. So, this goes much farther than me showing the world what Christ was like. I'm to show the world what the Heavenly Father is like. I'm to show the world what the mighty God is like. And you are too, by the way. I'm going to show the world what the everlasting Father is like. We're to show the world what the Ancient of Days is like. We're to show the world what the great Jehovah is like. We're to show the world what the Elohim is like. We're to show the world what King Jehovah is like. We're to show the world what the King Eternal is like. We're to show the world what our Father which art in heaven is like. And we're to show the world what the Creator of the universe is like, and the Sustainer of all life is like, and the Giver of all life is like. That means that I am to be like him who was like him, and that means that your job, and that's why I say, clean up your act and live a decent life. That's why I say, live in the book because Jesus did. That's why I say, walk with God because Jesus did. Because not only am I to say to a sin-cursed, rock music, sex-crazed, filthy, liquor-drinking, God-defying, atheistic world, I'm not to show them what Jesus was like, but I am to show them what the great Father in heaven was like. I, in my life, am to show the world what he is like. I am to copy the copy. So, let us sing. Let the beauty of Jehovah be seen in me. I'm giving you some heavy stuff tonight, but I won't tell you. I'm trying to show you what big league this is. I'm trying to show you what you really are. That's why I tell you kids, Christianity is more of you is getting out of hell and going to heaven and then living like a devil and singing like a devil and talking like the devil. You're supposed to go to the public school and show the kids in the public school what Jehovah God is like. And you're supposed to go to Chicago and show the kids that walk the streets in Chicago what the Jehovah God is like. And you rescue mission men are supposed to show the people that cross your path what Jehovah God is like. I'm trying to say tonight that we, as God's blood-bought people, are to be like Jesus, but it goes far beyond that because we are like him and he was like Jehovah. It is our job, go up and down the streets, on the job, at work, at school, at play, at shopping, everywhere we go, and say, look, looky here, this is what Jesus was like, and since he was like Jehovah, this is what Jehovah was like. That's why we can sing, oh, to be like thee, blessed Jehovah. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. Come in thy goodness. Come in thy sweetness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. That's why we should sing, let others see Jehovah in me. That's why we should sing, to be like Jehovah. To be like Jehovah. All I ask, to be like Jehovah. That's why we should sing, I would be like Jehovah. Or more like Jehovah, I would ever be. So the child was right when he said, are you God? For I am to be more than just a little Jesus. I am to be a little God. How can you watch your stinking soap operas and show the world what Jehovah was like? How can you sing your rotten, stinking rock music and show the world what Jehovah was like? Everything. And there's more to this thing of being a child of God than just getting out of hell. This old sin-cursed world not only needs to see what Jesus was like, but since he came to reveal the Father, we're to say, hey, this is what the Father was all about. God, give us some fanatical Christians who will give their lives to say, I want to show you what the great Creator is all about. For I am a copy of the copy. So the child was right when he said, Brother God. Or the God-man is here. Or did you see God time our shoe? Or this is a picture of God. Or ain't God mad today? The children were right. Because we're so prone to... We look at the life of a man, and that's okay, who lived in Bethlehem, born in Bethlehem, lived in Judea and Galilee, reared in Galilee in the city of Nazareth, and lived 33 years, and he was kind and gracious and friendly and courteous and all of that, and we say, be sweet like Jesus was, and that's okay. Be good like Jesus was, and that's okay. Ah, but there's so much more to it than that. The great, mighty God, the everlasting Father, the King of Kings, the Ancient of Days, the Elohim, Jehovah God, the Creator of the universe says, I want somebody to show them what I'm like. And Jesus said, I'll do that. I'll come to earth and show them what you're like. And then 33 years later, he goes back to heaven and says, now look, I, for 33 years, have been showing the world what my Father's like. Now, you show them what my Father is like. And this is why Jesus lived 33 years. Listen to this statement. His death and resurrection was to give us a plan of salvation. His 33-year lifespan was the advertisement showing what that plan can do for you. How can we show him what the Father was like or is like without seeing for a while and being able to observe what the Father was like as he who was like the Father and was God was on earth 33 years. So, his death and resurrection was to give us a plan of salvation. His life was the advertisement showing us what that plan can do for you. So, I am God's advertisement. Did you hear me? We are God's advertisement, saying this is what the Heavenly Father is like. This old half in, half out, half on, half off, half hot, half cold, milk and cider kind of Christianity, where you talk like the world, live like the world, sing like. And some of you folks on Christmas, the Sunday following Christmas, some of you folks are not going to do a very good job of showing this world what Jehovah's like. Let me tell you something. If there ever was a time, we ought to say, let me show you what Jesus was like, and he showed you what Jehovah was like, so I'll show you what Jesus was like. It ought to be Christmas Day. And anybody who's not in church on Christmas Sunday is going to face Almighty God someday for sacrilege of his wonderful day. So I'm a commercial. I'm God's marketing. Showing this world not just what the man of Bethlehem was like, not just what the stranger of Galilee was like, for he was like the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We should say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Son. So if you've seen me and the Son was like the Father and I'm like the Son, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Doesn't that make the Christian life seem pretty important to you? Doesn't it seem like big league stuff to you? We, creatures of dust,
About $2.95 worth of chemicals in our body is all we're worth. Just a vapor. Our life's a vapor for a while. It won't matter, ladies and gentlemen. When 100 years from now, it won't matter what kind of house you lived in, what kind of car you drove, how much money you had, but what will matter is while you lived your little last spin on earth, did you show people what the great God of heaven was like? Do your children have the faintest idea of what Jehovah is like? Do those at work, who work beside you, have the faintest idea what Jehovah is like? You satyrs who are here tonight at Great Lakes, do they have the faintest idea what Jehovah is like? You truck drivers who are here tonight, do they have any idea on the road what Jehovah is like? You Heaven Baptist High School students, does anybody see Jehovah in you as they see the way you live and the way you walk and the way you talk and the way you sing? Does anybody have the idea what Jehovah is like? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival sweep our country where God's people live like God, talk like God, walk like God, sing like God, and dress like God wants us to dress. Why? We're here to say this is what Jesus was like, but since he said this is what Jehovah was like, it is my job to say this is what Jehovah God was all about. Do your pupils know what God is like? Does your mate know what God is like? So let Christ be born in you this Christmas season so you can copy the copy to show what the original glory of God is all about. I mentioned a while ago, and this is an old story to many of you, when David asked me, I guess 4 years old, driving down May Street, when I asked him what they taught me in Sunday school, he said about God, and asked him what. And he said, I learned that God loves me like nobody loves me. When I do wrong, God punishes me, but he loves me and tells me he loves me after he spanks me. And he stopped and looked at me with his big old brown eyes and his mouth open and said, hey, Dad, are you God? Over 20 years, Dave drove home with me after every service. If I stayed till 11 o'clock at night, evening service, Dave might be sound asleep, but he'd be in the waiting room waiting for his dad. We drove home together Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because I always stayed late. And Dave drove home. Mrs. Howes and the girls would drive on. After Dave left, Cindy started doing the same thing. Now then, Dave's going to get married. It's the last Sunday he's going to drive home with me. All these years, now he's up 21 years of age or so. Next Friday night he's going to get married, or Saturday one. We're driving home as always, and he's a man now. We're driving down May Street, starting to turn right on Columbia. And Dave looked over and said, Dad, to ask you a question. And I said, what's that, son? He said, are you God? I said, do you remember that? Do you remember that? He said, of course. He said, about 17 years ago, when I was a little boy, you asked me what I studied in Sunday school, and I told you. And I asked if you were God. He said, I've observed you now for these 21 years. He said something that's not true, but I treasure it, what he said. He said, Dad, I've watched you 21 years. He said, you're as near God as anybody I know. I'd like to be Brother God. I'd like for little children to say, Mama, the God man is here. I'd like for little boys to say, did you see God tie my shoe? Not because I want anybody to think that I'm God, because my main job on earth is to be a commercial and an advertisement of what our great Jehovah God is all about. Let others see Jehovah in you. Boy, it makes it big, doesn't it? I mean, sure, to be like Jesus, be like him. But since he was like Jehovah, I am to say, this old sin-cursed world, listen to how I talk. This is the way God talks. Listen to what I sing. This is what God would sing. Look at how I love. This is how God loves. Look at how I forgive. This is why God forgives, because Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And I'm here to say this old sin curse. Well, hey, looky here. I'm doing the best I can to show you what the great King of Kings is all about.
Our Heavenly Father, somehow tonight help us to get the immensity of this subject, the greatness of this truth. You wanted people to see what you're like. And so you sent your son. He sure did a good job. If we saw him, we saw you. For 33 years, he advertised you on earth, showing people every walk of life how you would respond, what you're like. And then back to heaven, there was nobody left to show what you're like. And Jesus...